But we truly know that it is your love that defends us. We know, Father, that you have given us the gift of God in Jesus Christ. And we know, Father, that his blood, his sacrifice, his resurrection from the dead has purchased our salvation. And while the accuser of humanity would love to tear your kingdom asunder, we know that it is your love, Father, that does defend us. And so, Father, this morning we give you honor and praise and glory, for truly you are worthy to be worshipped. God of the universe, creator of all, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the gift of God in our lives. We give you thanks and praise this morning just for who you are. Father, we pray that you would continue to work in our lives. Truly, we would like our motives to be 100% for you. And yet, we know that all of us are sinners saved by grace. So this morning, Father, and this holiday weekend, as we're here to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth, we know that the word teaches that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are. So we know that you're here with us. We pray that you would search our hearts this morning, Father. We pray, Father, that if there are things between us, the things between you and me, Lord, that you would show that to us even right now. That we would just quietly, before you, confess those things and let them go. Because we know that you have taught us, Lord, that you forgive us when we seek you, that you cleanse us when we ask you, and that all of these sins or things that we've messed up on, or whatever the case may be, have already been nailed to the cross and therefore have been cast into the sea of your forgetfulness, never to be held against us, Father. We thank you for that fact. We pray that you continue to strengthen each one of us to truly be fully devoted followers of Jesus. For we know that when we are doing that, we know that you will use us. We know that you will turn us into kingdom builders, Father, that you would use us, Father, to reach that one person, maybe five people, maybe 100 people, I don't know. But there's always at least one person in our lives that need Jesus. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be true witnesses of the love of Jesus, Father. And that that true witness of your love might affect somebody in such a way that they would turn their lives over to you and discover the incredible love and precious gift of God through Christ. You have called us to be witnesses, Father, and we pray that you would continue to help us to do that very thing. I pray this morning for the particular needs of our congregation. Father, we have so many different medical needs among our community, God. We just pray that you would continue to be with these as we mention them. We pray for Joanne's daughter, Cindy, as she is in the hospital and it continues her battle, and pray for a quick recovery. We thank you, Father, that Jean Rouse is out of the hospital and in rehab, and pray that you continue to help her and guide her, Father. We thank you for the saint that she is, Father, and the witness that she's been to this community for so many years. We continue to pray for Alan's cousin, Kevin, as he continues healing, Father, and as the doctors prepare for next steps. We pray that you would continue to help Kevin, Father, and we pray that Ellen and Natasha could just be encouragers for him. We thank you for our brother, Sean Cloyd, and while we know that his battle rages on from lymphoma, we know that he got a good report from a PET scan this past week, and we give you praise for that, Father. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in Sean's life. We continue to pray for our dear friend, Paul Rouse, who is fighting leukemia, and pray that you would give those doctors wisdom and help. And I do continue to pray for my brother, who is doing really well. And thank you, God, for the good reports that I'm seeing with my brother Paul. And we pray that you would continue to work in his situation. Father, we know that among the nations, Lord, that there are many of your followers. And this morning, we do want to not only pray for our missionaries and our pastors across the world, and thank you, God, for the work that they're doing. But in particular, we do want to pray for Ukraine. We know that with all the stuff that's been going on in this country, it seems like the news from that war-torn place has kind of fallen behind. But we do pray, Lord, that the Ukraine would eventually come to a place of peace, and that you would continue to work out your will there, Lord. And we certainly pray for, especially, Father, our Christian brothers and sisters over there who are doing the work of the gospel. We just pray that you continue to guide them and help them and bless them this morning. And we pray for, we just pray that you would be with them. And then this morning, Father, as we celebrate Independence Day here in America, we thank you, Father, that this is a nation that was founded on biblical principles, on a Judeo-Christian ethic. Yet, Father, all we need to do is look at the news today and see that much of our nation has walked away from those principles, that much of our nation has turned a blind eye towards the will of God. Much of our nation really doesn't want to even hear the word. But you have called us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to be salt and light in a world that's evil and dark. And while we know there are so many great things about this nation, and we are indeed the freest nation on the planet, and we're thankful that we can still worship you here in spirit and in truth and being unafraid, more than anything, dear God, we pray for revival in your church. We pray for a revival in such a way, God, that your church would break open. We think of the great revivals of the past when Jonathan Edwards preached right here in New England, and it changed the landscape of the country, Father. And we think of other pioneers that way, like Charles Finney and John Wesley and so many others who have gone on before and have gone to glory, Father, and they have seen revival in their own context and in their own countries. Jesus, we need revival in America. We need God to move in a dynamic fashion. We need God to wake up the church, and that you would remind us, God, why we are here. We are here because you have called us to make disciples. And that begins with the process of being a witness and loving people where they are and challenging them to faith. And then once they have come to faith, Father, we have to teach them and model for them and show them your ways, Father. So, Father, we pray, God, that you would create revival. And I pray that you would start revival right here in this place within the context of Living Hope Church of the Nazarene in Beverly, Mass. May each one of our hearts, God, be filled afresh and anew with the power of the Holy Spirit, God, that you would continue to work in each one of us, that you would continue to stretch us and grow us. And God, turn us on, Father, help us to be on fire for the Lord, because truly that's what we need. I pray for my brother Gene as he comes this morning and breaks open the word of God. I pray, God, that you would just anoint him. Father, that you would empower him. Father, that you would give him the authority to preach your word with boldness. And that each one of us, God, would hear your word and move out in obedience. We thank you, Father, for this time where we gather as the body of Christ. We thank you, Father, for the fact that your salvation is forever in our hearts, that we were saved, that we are being saved, and we will be saved. And until that day when Jesus actually returns, I pray that we would be found faithful to do the mission that you have called us to, that we would be found faithful to be fully devoted followers, that we would be found faithful to be witnesses, that we would be found faithful to be generous, that we would be found faithful in prayer. And we'll be careful to give you the honor and the praise as we pray this all in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. And God's people said, amen.
Morning. Thank you to everyone who came out today. Happy Independence Day. Today's scripture is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all of the beasts of the field and all of the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib that he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you, Jim. Well, I'll say welcome again. It is 4th of July weekend. And welcome to those of you who are joining us online via live stream. We're glad you're here. Maybe some of you normally would be here, but you're away on vacation. Maybe a vet. Maybe you're on there watching. And I know you're having a great time on vacation. Just be safe. And I got to mention that Cindy, the good news is Mike prayed for Cindy, but Cindy is actually home, that she is out of the hospital. So praise the Lord for that. Mike would have no idea of knowing that when he prayed, but I got told that this morning when I came in. Cindy was home, so praise the Lord. Well, today we're going to continue on our sermon series that we've entitled, We Care. We Care. And of course, like all my other sermons, my sermon title starts out with, Who Cares? And this one is, Who Cares When I'm Feeling All Alone? Who cares when I'm feeling all alone? I want to begin with a couple of scriptures. First one's Hebrews 13:5, and says this. It says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, he being God, I will never leave you or forsake you. And basically, that echoes the words given to Joshua when God said to Joshua, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. That's God talking. I will not leave you or forsake you. However, in spite of that, at a recent biblical conference of over 1,000 people, 92% said in a survey that they had feelings of loneliness and that they're a major problem in their lives. 92% of Christians at this conference said that. In fact, they all indicated that they shared a common symptom. And that symptom was a sense of despair, feeling unloved, and a fear of being unwanted or unaccepted. Wow. 92% of those at a Bible conference. So I would assume that almost all of them were Christian. Let me quote what Mother Teresa said about this topic. She said, quote, we have drugs for people with diseases like leprosy. But these drugs do not treat the main problem, the disease of being unwanted. The sick and poor suffer even more from rejection than material want. Loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible of all poverty. Friends, few emotions are more painful than the emotion of loneliness. I want to paint a few scenarios for you, and I want you to picture these scenarios in your mind, if you will. Picture this, the single person who is suddenly enduring the pain of a broken romance. Or the divorced person who has no idea what to do with his or her time anymore. Or envision an inmate behind bars, maybe in solitary confinement. Or a military person away in another country. Think of the parents whose arms ache for a missing child. Look into the life of a widow who still sets the table for two at every dinner. And then after reflecting on those scenarios, think about the person who may be around acquaintances every day, but has no vital connection. Now, maybe some of you watching online have been there. Maybe some of you here have been there. In other words, you're a person who's part of the crowd, but you're not part of community. You know, music of any generation gives us a snapshot of what that generation looked like. So if we look at music and the words of music and the lyric of music, we can kind of get a sense of what was going on in the culture. I want to read you some lyrics from very well-known artists. You'll know all these artists and what they have said about this topic. Paul McCartney said this: "All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they belong?" Elvis Presley said, "Just take a little walk down where? Lonely Street to Heartbreak Hotel." James Taylor said, "Do me wrong, do me right. Tell me lies, but hold me tight. Save your goodbyes for the morning light, but don't let me be lonely tonight." Bonnie Raitt, "What can I do to get back to you? I am feeling desperate and lonely." Hank Williams sang, "I'm so lonesome, I could cry." Ray Orbison sang, "Only the lonely." Bobby Vinton sang, "Mr. Lonely." Now, I'm only reading a snapshot of lyrics from just a few artists. You know how many songs talk about loneliness? And how many artists talk about loneliness? Apparently, America can be a pretty lonely place. Apparently. Many of you remember Columbine High, right? Littleton, Colorado, Eric Harris and Dylan Clayton-Bold, they killed 12 students and themselves. What you may not know is that Eric Harris kept a diary. And in his diary, he talked about how lonely he was. Let me read you an excerpt from his diary. "I hate you people," quote, "I hate you people for leaving me out of so many fun things. You people had my phone number, and I asked you and all to come, but no, 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 don't let that weird-looking Eric kid come along," end quote. The Gallup poll says that loneliness and feelings of being left alone affect more than one-third of the American population, and psychologists say that's rising all the time. And the figures are not rising only emotionally, but also physically. What do I mean by that? Well, the Census Department says that the number of Americans living alone has tripled since 1970, has tripled. That makes me believe that what Lee Strobel wrote about this, that Lee Strobel is correct. And he writes this, quote, "People today will admit any problem, drugs, divorce, alcoholism, but there's one admission that people are loath to make, whether they're a star on television or someone who fixes television in a repair shop. It's just too embarrassing. It penetrates too deeply to the core of who they are. People don't want to admit that they are sometimes lonely. Loneliness is such a humiliating problem, it ought to have its own politically correct euphemism. Maybe we should call it relationally challenged." Right now, loneliness is a taboo. Loneliness is an affliction for losers and misfits. And I would say it's also an affliction for people like you and me. And the truth is, loneliness is very real, even among Christians, people who belong to a Christian church, people who are members of a Christian church. Now, every week that I've gone over this sermon series, every week I've taken a biblical character, looked at their life, and we've talked about how their life relates to the topic that we're speaking about. I want to do that again today, because I can tell you there are plenty of examples of biblical loneliness. Plenty of examples. I want to look at some of them together. Now, the first one, Beth has already read for us in Genesis chapter 2. I'll talk about a problem that's been around a long time. Adam had an issue of loneliness. I want to read, not everything Beth read, but I want to read some of what she read, beginning with verse 18. Listen to what it says. The Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. In other words, all the animals in creation were not cutting it for Adam. And Adam gave off the vibes to God very quickly, or the emotion to God very quickly, to let God know he was lonely. Let's look at another biblical character. What about King David? King David, a man with many wives, many concubines, bunches of children, and had a nation who would bow down and worship and do anything he said. How could David possibly be lonely, right? Well, it's John Maxwell who says this, quote, "It's lonely at the top, so you better know why you're there," end quote. How true is that for King David? Let's look at some of the things King David wrote. Psalm 25:16. "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." Psalm 102:6 and 7. "I am like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on a roof." Psalm 142, 4. "Look to my right and see that no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life." Let's look at another biblical character. What about the Apostle Paul? Paul, you know Paul, he wrote over half the New Testament. Listen to what he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. He says, "Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he has loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry." Look at the words Paul uses. Deserted. Come to me quickly. And then in verse 16, if we skip down a little bit, it says, "No one came to my support. Everyone deserted me." So the fact is, even people we consider biblical heroes experienced feelings of loneliness. And what you need to understand today, if this is something you struggle with once in a while, or maybe a lot, is loneliness, my friends, is not a sin. All right? It's not a sin. I would call it a byproduct of being a human being. But follow this with me. Think about this logically. We were made in the image of God. Everyone knows that, right? And do you know why he made us? Someone want to tell me why? Give me like three words. I mean, Michael always has a guess for all my questions. Do you have a guess this morning, Mike?
Yes, I do.
What's your guess?
He needs us.
No, God doesn't need anything. So I got to correct that. You're pretty good. But no, God does not need us. We need him. God doesn't need us. God is complete with or without us. I'll tell you why God made us. The Bible's crystal clear in this. We were made for one reason, folks, if you didn't know this, for fellowship with God. That's why you and I were created, for fellowship with God. And when we feel alone and feel loneliness, that should make sense to us because we are wired for community. We are wired for fellowship. That's how God made us. But let me tell you when loneliness becomes a sin. On the surface, it's not a sin, but it can become a sin when we choose to indulge in it, completely avoiding community, isolating ourselves from everyone and from God. It can become a sin when we allow it to possess us and to ruin our lives, or when we ignore the biblical prescription for it. And you may be saying, what is the biblical prescription for our loneliness? I'm going to give it to you this morning. There's an old saying that says, take two aspirin and call me in the morning. Most of us have heard that, right? Well, I'm going to give you the two aspirin for loneliness this morning, right from Scripture. And unfortunately, I wish these were epiphany kind of statements that you would say, wow, I never would have thought that. These statements are so simple, and so easy to remember. And these are statements you probably could come up with yourself. But let me tell you what the two aspirin for loneliness are. One is develop deep relationships with people. Now, I bet you know this, but I'm going to throw it out anyways. People can belong to a church and be very lonely. Okay, I hope you understand that. You can belong to a church like this and be very, very lonely. Again, let's go to a song, a very well-known song that all of you know. That song sings about this, Eleanor Rigby, right, by the Beatles. You know Father McKenzie? It describes Father McKenzie as a lonely priest who wipes the dust from his hand after doing a funeral. And Eleanor Rigby is the lonely church custodian. And Eleanor Rigby, it talks about, picks up rice on the sanctuary floor from weddings. And in the song, these two lost souls have lived their entire lives elbow to elbow, side by side, without connecting with each other at all, until one buries the other. You know what I've noticed at my time of vocational ministry, which goes back a number of years now? People can go to church for a year. People can go to church for a decade or two decades every Sunday and leave on Sunday morning and never say hello to each other. I've seen it. I've experienced it. That is not a good thing. You can be in church and still be very lonely. Unfortunately, loneliness should be an oxymoron to a Christian. Christian loneliness should be an oxymoron. Now, you know what an oxymoron is? If you don't know, I'll help you out right here. An oxymoron would be something like saying, civil war, pretty ugly. You kind of get the idea, right? Christian loneliness should not exist. It's an oxymoron. It isn't biblical. Let me read what it says in 1 John 1:7. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So if we're walking in the light, which basically means if you're living as a Christian, it's supposed to be built in that we have fellowship with one another. But part of the problem of loneliness is we don't move that fellowship, that saying hello on Sunday morning, we don't move it from a casual acquaintance to any kind of deep friendship. Let me give you a little piece of advice if you sit here today and you feel lonely from time to time. Don't go out and try to get a bunch of friends. That is not going to solve your problem, because this has nothing to do with quantity, all right? Quantity of friends does not abolish loneliness. You need to develop a few, a handful, two, three deep friendships. Proverbs 18:24 says this, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You see, having a few deep friendships is much better than having a multitude of surface friendships. About 10 years ago, a Japanese sculptor came to America, and he was displaying his art in some museums, and all of his art had a unique twist to it. On all of his sculptures, at every station, there was a sign. And you know what the sign said? Please touch. He literally wanted people to touch his art. That goes so contrary to what we know in America. We're so used to signs that say, don't touch. Don't enter. But we are surrounded by people who want to be touched and noticed. They don't have a sign around their neck that says, please touch. But be certain, there are a lot of people probably around you in your life that need the touch of a friend for a deep, caring relationship that moves beyond the surface. So we need to follow the advice of Proverbs. Don't worry about the quantity of your friends. You tell me you have 50 friends, I say, well, good. How many of them do you have a deep relationship with? And if you tell me none, well, you're a prime candidate for loneliness. So, how do we develop deep quality friendships? What are some things I can suggest to you? Let me give you a few suggestions. One, you got to move beyond the morning worship service into maybe a small group. Maybe you can go to the Friday morning woman's Bible study, 10 o'clock Friday morning, or the men's Bible study on Monday evening, or the group that meets that I'll call the chosen group that meets on Monday nights. Now, we met every Monday night for a while. In the summertime, we're only meeting once a month, but we have dinner together, and then right now, we'll watch a video or do an event. But get together and with a smaller group of people. Also, stop rushing home after service, maybe to go have lunch. Why don't you bring someone with you to lunch? Or go to lunch with somebody else. Start developing deeper relationships. You got to move beyond thinking about people to interacting with people. All right? Because that is one of the best cures for loneliness is deep friendships. And you only need a handful. If you tell me you have 3 deep friends, praise the Lord, you have been blessed. Because you have more than most people already, all right? You don't need a lot, a few. Okay, that's the first aspirin for loneliness. But remember, we're supposed to take 2 aspirin. So what's the second aspirin? Another game changer, one you can never figure out on yourself. And here it is. Develop a deep relationship with God. Now, this is where it gets a little ironic. Because in order to build a deep relationship with God, you need some alone time. Alone time with God. And that may sound like contradictory advice for your loneliness. But let me tell you, there's a huge difference between solitude and loneliness. They're not the same thing at all. Alone time with God is solitude. That is not loneliness, my friends. Don't equate the two as dissimilar. They're not similar at all. Let's face it. A lot of people are very lonely when they're in the midst of crowds. In fact, some people are at their most lonely time when they're in a large group. You know, in our busy world, it's extremely important to take time to develop your relationship with God. If you're not going to grow in your faith, friends, then this concept of loneliness will probably be with you forever. You need to grow in your faith. And to do that, you need to spend time with the Lord. He is the only one that I know who ever promises and guarantees I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's a guarantee from God. That's a promise. That's not, I'll try to do this. Your best friend may tell you, I will never leave you or forsake you. And they'll try really hard. But depending on the circumstances, they may end up letting you down. God will not. Because God will not leave you, will not forsake you. So what do you need to do? Well, this is not going to happen unless you schedule time for your devotions. Schedule time with the Lord. In James 4:8, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So let me encourage you to make an appointment with God for the purpose of growing deeper and your relationship with God, your friendship with God. I want to kind of start to wrap things up by quoting something that Charles Swindoll wrote. And he wrote this to specifically encourage his congregation in times of loneliness. This is what he wrote. Quote, "God knows, my friend, and he does care. Please believe that. He not only knows and cares, he understands, he is touched, he is moved, entering to every pulse of anguish, and he longs to sustain and deliver us. In the strangling grip of Golgotha, our Savior experienced the maximum impact of loneliness. For an undisclosed period of time, the Father forsook him. His friends had already fled. One had betrayed him, and now his own Father has turned away. In the bottomless agony of the moment, the Lord cried out. He literally screamed aloud, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?' The loneliness of those dark moments, as our Savior carried away our sin, cannot be adequately pictured on paper. Cold print cannot convey it. But is it any wonder that he is now able to sympathize and enter in as we battle the feelings of loneliness? Those who bear the scars of that silent warfare need no explanation of the pain, only an invitation to share in the wound and, if possible, help in the healing. When we are lonely, we need an understanding friend. Jesus is the one who sticks closer than a brother. When we are lonely, we need strength to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Jesus is the one who strengthens me," end quote. Let me encourage you this week to combat those feelings of loneliness by taking steps to develop your relationship with one friend. Over the next month, purpose to say there's one friend that I'm going to put some time into. Someone that's maybe already your acquaintance, but I'm going to put some time into them. I'm going to invite them over to my house for supper. I'm going to ask them if they want to go to a movie with me. I'm going to ask them if they want to get together and pray, or whatever the case may be. Start investing in one friend. I can almost assure you that whoever you pick, they're looking for a deep relationship and a friend as well. Take the first step. Then you also, at the same time, need to develop a deeper relationship with the Lord. Look at your schedule. Many of you keep a schedule or an appointment book. Well, make an appointment with God. You don't need to make one hour a day every day. Try one appointment this upcoming week with God. One appointment. Set aside 1 hour of your week to say, I'm going to spend some time praying, reading, meditating on, focusing on the Lord. That time should be set up where you let no one interrupt you. You got to shut your cell phone off, but clearly don't answer it. So this is not complicated, but it takes time. You can beat loneliness. You were created for fellowship. That's in your DNA as a human being. You were created for fellowship with God. Every one of us in this room, everyone watching online, you were created for fellowship with God. All of us were created for the same purpose. So the concept of getting together in fellowship is part of who we are. It is not natural for us to live our life alone and separated and segregated from everyone else. Loneliness, you know, I didn't realize how big of a problem it was until I read that stat from that Bible conference. 92% said in a survey that they struggle with loneliness. 92%. That kind of blew me away. I didn't realize the problem was that big. Psychiatrists, psychologists say that it's 33% of America. Made me wonder, are there more Christians who are lonely than non-Christians? That's what that number seems to indicate. That there are more lonely Christians. And that is sad. Because like I said, Christian loneliness should be an oxymoron. Okay, my friends, it's a 4th of July weekend. And it's a good weekend to talk about this, because this weekend a lot of us get together, have family cookouts. We hang out with family members. Not all of us do, but a number of us do. And so I hope you can do that today or tomorrow. And for those of you who work, I'm guessing a lot of you have tomorrow off. Again, that's a good thing. Another time to hang out with your family and friends is take tomorrow off and enjoy the day, enjoy the holiday. But the prescription is so simple for loneliness. Develop deep relationships with friends or a couple of friends, and then develop a deeper relationship with the Lord. That is the two aspirins to overcome loneliness. If you have any friends who are struggling with addiction, tell them to come next week. Because next week's sermon is Who Cares When I Am Addicted? So next week we'll be talking about addictions, and we'll be giving us a formula to overcome addiction. And so if you have any friends struggling with any, and by the way, addictions come in dozens and dozens and dozens of forms. You know, I'm not talking about drugs and alcohol exclusively. There's another 50 addictions I could throw on there. And maybe some of you are struggling with those addictions you didn't even know that you were addicted to. Technology. How often you're on your phone? How often do you have to be on your phone? You know, how often you got to be on your computer or in front of the TV? Do you have to have technology in front of you all the time? A lot of people do. Anyways, let me pray for us. Father, I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, how faithful you are to us. And as we go through these sermons one after another about things that we struggle with as a culture, I pray, God, that you would just help remind us when the time is right of your Holy Spirit's cure, about how you want to help us, God. And this concept of loneliness, I pray, Father, that everyone here, everyone listening online, that we would sense a very close connection with you, and that we would never feel like we were alone, no matter where we are, that we would know that you are there with us for sure. And I pray, God, that we could pass that along to others, Father, and that we'd share our lives with others, and others would share their lives with us, God, and in doing so, we would never be known as lonely. So thank you, God, for today's word. Be with us, Father, as we continue to enjoy this good weather on this holiday weekend, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, twice as much.
What?
Twice as much, don't forget.
Is this on? Can you hear me? Right. Good morning. I wanted to give you some information about missions, the global missions for the Nazarene Church. There was the missions convention and the assembly the beginning of June, and all of the churches brought their boxes of crisis care kits, PAL packs, and clothing, and they were able to deliver to Fawn Grove, the Compassion Center warehouse, 164 boxes of crisis care kits, which equal 984 crisis care kits, and five of them came from us, five boxes, that is, not just five kits. Three boxes of PAL packs, four boxes plus 70 bags of clothing. And there was there's some information from the Compassionate Care for Ukrainians. In Poland, workers have strategically positioned a distribution warehouse at the border for delivering food and crisis care kits to people living in the Ukraine. And churches in Hungary have collected and distributed clothes, medical supplies, groceries, baby care items for hundreds displaced by the war. The Blessings Church of the Nazarene in Bucharest, Romania, has housed Ukrainians living as refugees since the start of the conflict in late February. In Moldova, Nazarene church leaders and members have transported hundreds of Ukrainians, both fleeing and returning to the Ukraine. So that's just some of what the Global Nazarene Church has been doing to help out there. I also want to remind you that World Mission Broadcast Sunday is July 17th, and that is, in some countries, the only way that they get to hear the gospel. Let us pray. Lord, you call us to be like you. Help us to reflect your generosity by freely, cheerfully, and wisely giving our time and money to further your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.